On this episode of The Fieldhouse Files, my guest is Tamika Catchings before she officially becomes a Hall of Famer this weekend. And welcome into The Fieldhouse Files, the podcast where I take you behind the scenes with the Pacers, talk to individuals on and around the team, and tell you what you need to know. Well, it's a very special weekend coming up for Indiana sports fans, basketball fans, Fever fans, and for Tamika Catchings. The first ballot Hall of Famer will be officially enshrined into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame Saturday afternoon. It's all taking place up at Mohegan Sun Arena, where the Connecticut Sun play, not at Springfield, just due to COVID. And this was all supposed to happen last fall, but because of the pandemic, it all got pushed back. And as I like to joke, this class was just so strong that they needed more time. In addition to Tamika, the late Kobe Bryant, of course, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, and many others part of that class, but they are the featured core. And really look forward to seeing Tamika, that big old smile, for her to enjoy her special day, and for us to all sit back and enjoy it from afar with her. I was disappointed personally. Not going to lie, I wanted to be there. I planned to be there, but no media was allowed. Guests were very limited. Again, they changed sites. It was not in Springfield, and so I was unable to make it. But Tamika means a great deal to me personally. I was basically her personal ball boy for 10 years, working side by side with her from 2003 to 2012, that championship year. I don't need to list all her accolades and what she was able to accomplish, because I think that is well known. And if not, you can just take a quick search and go through the laundry list of accomplishments. The two things that stand out to me about her, as I told her, are her work ethic and how nice of a person that she is. On an accomplishment standpoint, there's several things. The fact that she's one of those that has won at every level, high school, college, professionals, and in the Olympics, 4 times in the Olympics. I got it wrong during our interview. I said 5. Well, you lose count after a while, right? It's all on one hand, I guess, still. But Tamika is special, hard-nosed, played through injuries, a terrific leader. And she was a person that was bullied early on in her life because of her disability, her hearing disability. She had to overcome that. And I think fans that, you know, are just now listening to her and watching her probably don't recognize it at all. That's how much she's overcome and succeeded. And if anything, she just brought a positive atmosphere, a positive locker room environment. And obviously a winner, that goes without saying. And this will be special for her entering the Basketball Hall of Fame. One of the top honors that you can do. I think winning a title, impacting others, being in the Hall of Fame are right there atop the list. And you'll hear her tell me that her legacy extends well beyond the basketball court. It's what she does with her Catch the Stars Foundation and the youth she's able to impact. And that's absolutely right. But it's only due that she gets her due for what she did on the basketball court. She had aspired to be an NBA player, much like her dad. And when the WNBA came along, she was just entering in college. And then 4 years later, that became a reality. And shout out to Kelly Kroskoff for selecting her, even though they knew she was injured and was going to miss her rookie season that first year. I guess not her rookie season. The next year was her rookie season, coming off injury. And yeah, in true typical Tamika style, was rookie of the year. Tamika is one of my favorites. I think you'll see that coming through here. There's no hiding my bias in this one. And I'm just glad she's been in Indianapolis since being drafted in 2001 and proudly made Indy her home. You can read my written work at fieldhousefiles.com. Subscribe, help me out there, and get the best Pacers coverage anywhere at fieldhousefiles.com. I got the podcast and a lot more. Now let's get into it. My one-on-one conversation this week with Tamika Catchings, Hall of Famer. Tamika, I love the smile. That tells me just about everything I need to know. But for the audience, share what you are feeling with yourself and your family heading into one of the most special weekends probably of your professional career.
I am super excited and really just elated. My whole family will be out there. And, you know, through COVID and just the time that we've been through, our family has been separated. So this is kind of, It's a great event, not only just to be able to, you know, walk across the stage and become a Hall of Famer, but even more importantly, just having my family there, a support system, and, you know, just being able to share the moment with them.
What have you done in preparation? You'll have a speech and you're going to be the center of attention. You'll do many more interviews, probably just like this.
Yeah, it has been wild, Scott. I can honestly say I've been working on my speech for probably about a month now. And even to this point, I'm like, I don't know if it's the right speech. If I don't know if I'm missing somebody or, you know, we only get 5 to 7 minutes. So trying to squeeze a lifetime of people that have been by your side, that have supported you, that have been, you know, my fans and, you know, just been a part of the journey. It's impossible to do in 5 to 7 minutes. So I hope that with the interview, I can say thank you to everybody that has been a part of my journey and that, you know, Scott, you're in there as well. I mean, being the ball boy and rebounding for me early on in my career. I mean, 10 years? You were there for 10 years?
Yeah.
Right? I'm celebrating 20 years. So, you know, preparation has really, it's been wild. I don't think that I've really been able to fully grasp and think about what's going on and what's about to happen. But I know when I land in Connecticut and just get a breather and start seeing my family come in, it's just amazing.
You mentioned the 20 years, and you've been through a lot, both highs and lows with injuries, but championships and an MVP. Does it feel like 20 years or does it feel like?
It doesn't feel like 20 years. I mean, the crazy thing, and I was looking at this the other day, the young lady that we drafted, she was born in 2001. Yeah. That was my first year in the pros. And I just like, I go back to that. I'm just kind of like, man, where did this time? The players are getting younger and I don't feel like I'm getting older, but you know, definitely to be here in Indiana, to make this place my home and, you know, to still be a part of the organization. It's just, I can't even say it's been a dream come true because it wasn't something that I dreamed about, but being in an organization like this and the support that we've gotten, the community that we have, you know, it does feel like a dream that came true.
I want to mention that, though, because you did dream about it to an extent. You said, I want to play in the NBA, I think, as a freshman in high school, I think is what it was. So there was some of that.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. The NBA, the whole idea with the NBA came in seventh grade. The WNBA, you know, my dream switched to the W my freshman year in college, because that was the first year of the W. So it's crazy just to think how far life had come, how far we've transpired. And, you know, here we are. That was what, I don't even want, that was 1997 when the WNBA started. I was a freshman in college. That's crazy.
How much did you follow the league initially? Was it something you watched often? Because it was still just catching on and still right now is just now taking off, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're celebrating 25 years this year. And, you know, you think about when it first began, being a freshman. And I mean, shoot, we went to that year, we went undefeated, won the national championship that year. And, you know, looking at that summer, yes, I was tapped into the WNBA and, you know, engaged, but it was a different type. It was more of like, okay, you know, I'm watching it, but Knoxville, I mean, we're in Knoxville, Tennessee, didn't have a team. And you know, you're looking at all the other places that had teams. We had 14 teams at that point in time. And, you know, I definitely watched it. I watched players that's kind of like, okay, one day I want to be like those players. And, you know, a lot of them were the Olympians, the ones that got dispersed, you know, 96 Olympic team. And we're watching that, just kind of cheering and watching the Olympians do their thing. And then they're in the WNBA. So you're following those players.
One person, unfortunately, who cannot enjoy this with you is one of your idols, and Pat Summitt. I'm guessing she's in that message somewhere. But will you think about when you consider her influence in your game? You were going to take off anyway, but she certainly had a big influence.
Oh, man, she had a big influence on my game. And just, you know, I think more importantly, just me as a person. Yeah, I think when I look at Pat and I think about all of the things that we can say and, you know, from all of us that played for her. Of course, you can talk about the things that happen on the basketball court, but it's the things off the court that matter the most and just her wanting us to develop into great people and just being an asset to society. And I feel like I hope that, you know, all of us, we're a part of her legacy. And, you know, I hope that I know she's looking down and smiling on us.
It's unfortunate that your Hall of Fame and everything got delayed a little bit, but I kind of like to joke, this class is so special that they needed more time because so many of you, the key ingredients of this class are one-namers, Ketch, Kobe, KG, Duncan. I mean, you know exactly who I'm talking about when I mention those people. Has there been any communication with you in that group at all going into this week, and any text or emails? Or what do you look forward to in seeing most of them?
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting. I think with everything else that's been going on in our lives, it's kind of last year, you know, are we going to have the ceremony? Are we not? And it kept getting pushed further and further back. And then finally, when they said 2021, it was kind of like, okay, whew, we have a moment to breathe. Cause I started thinking about, okay, got to get my speech ready. I got to find out what I'm wearing. I got to, you know, all the prep that goes into getting ready for one weekend. But I'm glad we had a little bit more time to celebrate a 2020 class. I'm glad that, you know, we'll have the opportunity when we get to Connecticut. And I think at that point, really just being able, those are the bonds. That's the moment that you really get to share with one another. And, you know, I think it will be something that will continue to bring us together in the future.
Have you always been so good in the spotlight? And I mean, both playing and talking, because, I mean, you're asked to do it a lot. You shine on the court, but that had to be a lot. And I know early on you overcame, obviously, the hearing disability to the point where I think if people just met you, they would have no idea.
Well, I got my brand new fancy hearing aid now, Scott. So, you know, as far as being in the spotlight, no, I haven't. I don't think that even as a young girl, and I just remember my sister and I, we were dubbed the Catching Sisters. My brother was there. So it's just kind of like the Catching family. And that's what we were known for early on in high school. And then, you know, I moved down to Texas with my mom, kind of started building my own, just my own name, my own face, and a little bit apart from my sister. Went on to the University of Tennessee. Of course, we're all under Pat's tutelage and what she had been able to accomplish, and we're a part of her legacy. And then, of course, coming here. And I think from the beginning, you know, in the beginning, I really didn't know, like, okay, I'm stepping into a new world and really just trying to figure out what is the space that I need to be in. I give a lot of credit early on to Lori Satterfield, who was our community relations director, as far as being able to speak. I remember when she asked me, I'd signed a marketing agreement my first off season, so after that 2001 season, and she said, hey, Catch, you know, we're gonna need you to go and talk to these schools. And I'm like, okay, like how many schools? She said, well, you know, roughly about 50 middle schools. And I just was like, yeah, I'm the wrong person to do that because I don't really talk like that. And, you know, we worked on a speech early on. We talked about the fever for every victory earns respect. That was the speech. That was the message. And we went to all of these schools. I think we went to more than 50. I think she said 50, but yeah, I'm pretty sure we went to more than 50. But that was the beginning of me learning how to speak and learning how, you know, just to be out in the community and be able to speak about the fever.
So for you then, was it confidence through repetition, much like basketball?
Definitely confidence through repetition. I remember the first time I spoke, I literally held a piece of paper in front of my face, read verbatim every single word. By probably speech number 5, I kind of, like, you know, I still use my paper, but not as much. By speech 15, I was good to go. I was like, all right, I know this on the top of my head. I know the questions I want to ask. And, you know, and then it kept rolling. But now it's the same thing. I prepare for my speeches, but I don't normally write them out. I'm so glad it was recommended for me to, you know, write out my speech for the Hall of Fame, just because there's so many people that I want to thank, and to not have the names written down, I know I would have left somebody off the list. So thank you. Thank you for those a couple pointers on the side.
Is there one thing you're most proud of? And I don't even necessarily mean a championship, because the route I would go is your work ethic. That's my biggest takeaway, and how you treat others. Those are kind of the two things that I've learned, certainly, from being up close with you since 2004 and learning day to day. Nicest person, and I don't say this because you're in front of me. I tell everybody, nicest human I've ever met, and your work ethic is truly unmatched. You'd have me come in at 7 a.m. You would already, you know I'm not a morning person. You would already be in a full sweat by 6 a.m.
You became one, right? You became one. You started
Never.
Smiling.
Only because you were smiling and I could not, and you'd have the music going, and you'd already be already thinking ahead to your next pool workout, and so somehow that got me through.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the thing that I'm most proud of, honestly, and I mean, this probably goes to even watching Pat and her humbleness and just the type of person she was, and you know, she was a giver, and so I'd say the thing that I'm most proud of is our Catch Stars Foundation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my sister and I, we started that 17 years ago. in 2004, and being able to provide opportunities to underprivileged youth, show them different paths that they might not have had, and opportunities to come to the games, some of our different programs. We just gave out over $100,000 in scholarship money just this year. So, we are continuing to grow. We impact over 1,500 kids a year. And, what you do on the court, that's one avenue and that's one thing. And that is something that, I am proud of. But down the road, there's going to be more players that come. There are going to be more legends that cross the court. There are going to be more Hall of Famers. But the one thing that you can't discount is the impact that you've had on other people's lives.
I think about what you did on the court, and that provides joy, some entertainment. But I thought maybe you would go this route, and it does make sense because it's beyond your playing days, and you provide opportunity. Maybe some of these individuals couldn't go to college or couldn't go to the college best suited for them, and I think you impacted 41 teenagers just here recently with your athletes banquet that you've been doing ever as long as I can remember, I think, since you guys started back in 2004. And then on top of, I got your book right here. You're an author.
All right.
As if you don't have enough things on your plate, and now you're running the Fever. But yeah, the influence you're able to have, I bet those conversations you had with those teenagers here recently, some of them probably don't care about sports or know you as that person. They know you as a person impacting their lives.
And I would say that even from the beginning of Catch the Stars, there's a lot of kids that we were able to impact that had no idea that I played basketball through some of the different programs that we had. And, I think that was really the joy for me. Yes, you might have a bad day in practice. Yes, you might have a bad game. Yes, you might not perform at the level that we want to perform at. But when you walk into the gym or you walk into a classroom or you walk just out on the street and you see a young child and, especially one of our Catch the Stars kids, it was just, I don't know, it's just one of those things that even when I think about it now, it just puts a smile on my face.
By the way, I should mention business owner in there with your Tease Me, not just one, but now a couple of local shops here in Central Indiana. I would recommend people check those out certainly as well. Looking ahead to this weekend, I want to talk about your presenters a little bit. I know you have your fondness growing up for Alonzo Mourning. What kind of impact has he had? And then Dawn Staley individually, I know she was most influential, I think, in terms of leadership when you were there with Team USA.
Definitely, definitely. And, Scott, I can't give you everything because I got to use something from my speech. somebody's going to listen to this and say, wait, she said the same thing in her interview that she said at her speech. I've spent a lot of time working down this speech, but both of them were very influential in my early years. And, when we started thinking about it, the lady Fran Judkin from the Hall of Fame, when she reached out and said, hey, you got to select your presenters. I'm like, God, hand down, it would be Pat, right? And obviously she's not here. So it's like, okay, who would I want that's a previous Hall of Famer to walk me down the stage and or up to the stage? And I was just like, my two idols, right? Mm-hmm. Growing up, Alonzo was the first role model that I had outside my house, outside of my dad. And I just remember watching it. This is a funny story. I won't share this on stage, but I remember the first time, I think I was in middle school, and my dad, we went to one of the NBA All-Star games, and my dad was like, okay, I saw, we went early, we're watching the guys warm up on either end, the All-Star game, the All-Stars, and I was sitting in the stands, and I'm just like, oh my God, Alonzo Mourning down there, and I'm talking to my sister and my brother, and I'm like, hey, when I meet Alonzo, this is what I'm gonna say. I had like my whole speech planned out, all the things I was gonna say. Mm-hmm. My dad is down on the floor, he's talking to Alonzo, and they look up at me, and he's like, Tamika, come down. And so I come down the stairs, and I get down there, and he introduces me to Zoe, and I literally, all the words, all the conversation that I had, planned out, I was speechless. So my dad's looking at me like, you've got to be kidding me, because I'm looking at him, shaking his hand, and I was just like, I was mesmerized by Alonzo Mourning. So that was like my first introduction. I've gotten a lot better since then. Now I consider him also one of my mentors, somebody that's in the front office for the Heat. And when things go awry, or even thinking about the front office opportunity before, he was somebody that I called on and talked to.
What was it about him that you admired, that you watched closely and was like, I want to replicate that, or I'm just going to keep watching because I enjoy it?
I just felt like he could do anything his team needed him to do. And what if they needed him to score, he could do that. If they needed him to defend, he could do that. If they needed him to rebound, he could do that. And I just love the fact that he seemed like a selfless player, that he was always out there for the good of the team and always willing to do whatever it took to make sure that the team succeeded.
I think one of the cool things too, monumental things you've accomplished, is winning at every level. There are very few who have done that. Quinn Buckner, who's in the same building, has winning in high school, winning in college, WNBA, and what, five gold medals with Team USA? I don't know how you could top that. That's just an unbelievable career.
Well, I'm sure that at some point down the road, somebody will. And, you know, I'd go back to just the opportunities and the people that are around you, the village that surrounds us. And, you know, I think that's a great segue, even when you think about Dawn Staley and her impact. You know, winning for me, winning four Olympic gold medals, one with her, and, you know, just what she taught me as far as being a leader, leadership, and just being able to use your voice. I watched Dawn literally in practices, how she was able to just command the room, command the respect of the play of all of us. But, you know, in particular, the top tier players, and making sure that, you know, hey, when we come together as an Olympian and as the Olympic team representing the USA, it's not about, you know, your name on the back of the shirt. It's about the name that's on the front of the jersey, you know, the USA, and how we come together. We represent our country together, and we're going out here to win the gold, not an individual accomplishment, not an MVP, not any of that. We want to go home with the gold.
Outside of your college and pro experience, was that easily, could that be topped? Is that easily your best experience in terms of where basketball took you?
Meaning the Olympic Games?
Yeah, outside of the standard college and WNBA side.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the experiences and being able to represent your country is so much bigger than, you know, a college when you're representing that individual college, or, you know, even in the WNBA, we're one of 144 players, only 12 teams that are, you know, here. So in the Olympics, it's the best of the best. We come together. We don't have much time to practice. So when you're in there, you're locked in, you're loaded, you're ready to go. And, you know, I think from just my level of even being able to think the game at a higher level and being able to have the IQ, being around players like that on a consistent basis for the amount of time that we were together, you know, going into the Olympic Games and even while we were at the Olympics, I mean, it's just mind blowing to even think about. Just, I don't know, like I watch practice sometimes and I'm like, God, like I used to play at a high level and I love being in practice and I love getting better and I love being able to operate at my best. Now I sit there and I'm like, whoo, I can't imagine being on that court. But, you know, it's all about the memories and all about the great times and, you know, just the things that we were able to accomplish as basketball players at a high level.
I know your time was kind of limited probably when you were over there with Team USA between practice, rest, and everything. But did you build any relationships with any other Olympians or seek out their greatness to try to grab things from them at all while you were there over your five times?
Yeah, I mean, it's only four times with the senior team. And then, of course, my junior national experiences were great. But, yeah, I mean, it's crazy because you still have a bond with all of them. And while some of them might be stronger than others, when you're around each other, we get together, it is like being able to recognize and being able to talk about, you know, just the times that we had. We got the Olympic game coming up this year, and, you know, even thinking about that and thinking about the, you know, Olympian that I got to play with and the one that the newer players that will be joining the team going into this Olympic game, it's something that you never forget. And the experiences, the players that you get to play alongside of, you know, some who you'll never get to play with in the WNBA and obviously didn't play with in the college game. It's something that the bond is forever there. And whether or not you talk every single day or text, you know, it's just one of those things. Majority of them play in the WNBA. So when you see each other, it's being able to reunite for that moment. And then it's like we go back to our business.
I just think about all the cool experiences you had, too. Just how many times did you go to All-Star Weekend? Just not only to participate, but show up. I think you went to the ESPYs a couple times. Basketball has been a great vehicle to you. And, yeah, that's not as much your legacy, like you said, as where it has taken you since, with writing multiple books, with leaving an impact with everyone else. That is cool. And the other thing I want to touch on, too, is maybe you don't get into this while you're present, while you're there, but to only play for one franchise, you just don't see that anymore, especially today. Looking back at that, how special is that to leave a legacy of this was my team and I wanted to finish there?
Well, not only this is my team, but this is my city. And, you know, being able to leave a legacy, not just on the court, but beyond. I think a lot of players, some of it is, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's just a different era, right? It's just now you think about not just from the WNBA or NBA side, but let's think about college and the transfer portal that, you know, that come up now and players leaving schools left and right. I mean, it's become one of those things where it's like it's okay to make change. I'm glad that I was able to be here and to be able to learn, especially early on, being able to learn about what it takes to be a leader, being able to grow into being a leader, being able to use my voice as a leader, and then alongside of all of that, being able to be a leader in the community and continue to impact outside of the building, outside of Bankers Life Fieldhouse. And you know, I think that that's been, when people ask, like, gosh, you played in, you know, you played in one city for one organization, been a part of the Fever franchise. Pretty much I've been a part of the Fever my whole adult life.
Yeah.
I've been here, graduated and got drafted, and I've been here and I haven't left. I haven't left, come back, none of that. And, you know, I think it's a blessing. It really is a blessing. All the people that have been a part of my path, my journey here, you know, both in the building, both with the organization, and a lot of people in the community. And that's what made, you know, that's what made me stay. And of course, you know, now being married to my husband who's from Indy, you know, that's what makes us stay.
Yeah, shout out to Purnell. One of the individual struggles you constantly dealt with throughout your career, but it didn't really hamper you outside of missing time, was injuries. I've never asked you this. Have you ever allowed that self-doubt to get in? Or, I mean, you're talking about an ACL just to start your WNBA career. You miss your first year. There's the awful Achilles injury. I think a broken nose multiple times. So many things like that. Did you ever think, like, I'm not going to be the same? Or, I don't know. Did you ever have that conversation with you? Or do you have to quickly get over that as much as you can?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had self-doubt. I think if for anybody that could say through a, you know, a tragic incident, injury, that you're not going to, you know, that you didn't have self-doubt, you'd be kidding yourself. But I think it's all about the people that are in your circle. And, you know, right off the bat at Tennessee, when I tore my ACL, you know, I was surrounded by my teammates. I was surrounded by our coaching staff, and they never let me get down. They let me have my days where I might be in a dark cloud or have the dark cloud above me, but they wouldn't let me linger in it. And I think that was really important, just being around people that love me, especially early. When I got drafted, you know, Kelly Koskoff, our GM at the time, I remember asking her, I wanted to stay back in Knoxville and do my rehab there. And she was like, nope, I want you to come up here. I want you to learn the city. I want you to be around your new teammates, be a part of our organization. Like, it's important that you're here. And, you know, looking back, not in the moment, I was upset with her, but looking back, it was definitely the right decision, and being able to come up here and build those relationships and build those bridges. So, yeah, self-doubt, the Achilles, the broken nose, the fingers, the plantar fascia. I mean, literally anything and everything that you can imagine, I probably had to deal with to some extent. And I'm just so thankful for the people, you know, that have been on my team, on our training staff team, you know, even for the Pacers side, their trainers. You know, it's great when people come together for a common good. And the overall plan and overall goal is, what does it take to get this player back on the floor?
And one of my favorite stories all time about you is, I think it was the plantar fascia, and you needed to get out there and test it out before returning. So I got summoned back. Hey, go back to the practice court. And you still kicked my butt, and I don't think you were 50%. You had to test out different soles. I was winded. Now, given I didn't play much, but you were still so dominant. I think that spoke to your mindset. We have no idea how much pain you were in, but you fought through it, and you were out there that night.
I was determined. I mean, we were in the playoffs. We were getting ready for game three against Atlanta. So game two, we won game one, went to Atlanta, we lost, I tore my plantar fascia, but I completely tore it. So, I mean, literally came back. I was in a wheelchair. I think we came back on, I don't know, Saturday, Sunday, whatever. We came back, I'm in a wheelchair, And going through the airport, we land, I go straight to the doctor, get the x-ray, find out, yep, it completely tore. So then I'm going to treatment. Monday comes, I'm in treatment in the morning. We go to another doctor to get another second opinion, come back, do more treatment, go to another doctor to get another opinion. And then what it ended up coming up, it like ended up coming out is she completely tore it. There's nothing worse that she can do. And I'm like, okay, well, I can't do anything else. And I can play, like I can physically get out there and play. I'm gonna try it. So I remember Josh Corbeil from the Pacers. That's like our first time working together. And Holly Heisman from our side were trying to figure it out. And you know, Kelly at that point was like, no, like I don't think you should play. And the doctor came in. I mean, literally, like they shot me up a little bit. I got out there. I started working. I'm like, I think I can go. I'm pretty sure that I can go. And so, yeah, Scott, you got summoned for us to, you know, go up and down. And when the doctor saw me, I think he thought I was going to be limping. And then when he saw that I was running, I mean, they taped my foot, like all of that. And I got out there. I can't say that I had the best game. We ended up losing, but I wouldn't take that back.
And that right there is you in a shell. You shouldn't be out there. You're battling through an injury, but your teammates need it. You want to finish your season. And you're out there playing. So that in a shell is exactly why you are who you are. Have a special weekend. I'm disappointed. No media is allowed. We can't be out there. We can't celebrate you. We'll be covering from afar and wish you well. Have that special weekend you deserve. All right, Ketch?
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate you.